Welcome to season two of NSQ. I'm Priscilla Britton, graduate of Brixton Finishing School, the creators of the Ad Academy, an online course from industry experts for untapped talent. This season, you'll hear from even more of the people behind the creative industry's best work. And if there's a question you want answered but wouldn't ask, send it to us on socials at Brixton F School so I can get you the answers you want. Today, we are chatting to Lachlan Williams, strategy consultant, mentor, and innovation lead at Anomaly. Something you may not know about Lachlan is he is an experienced teacher who spent 7 years delivering the degree course he graduated in. Lachlan used his deep understanding of how people learn to design Brixton Finishing School's Ad Academy, an online course that launched to over 300 young people across the UK in year one. Hi, Lachlan.
Priscilla, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not bad. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well.
Good. I'm very excited to chat with you today.
And me too. I've been looking forward to this all week.
I'm very confident there's going to be a lot of things that you say today that everybody is going to take something from, but no pressure.
Okay.
Right, let's get into it. So, advertising industry body, the IPA, found from their 2021 agency census that the ethnic diversity of member agencies has improved significantly. But it's still yet to meet their 25% target. In 2021, it was reported at 18.3%, a rise from 15.3% in 2020. So, advice for those who made it in. How can applicants be considered competitive candidates when making applications?
Before I answer this question, I just want to acknowledge that there's a huge amount of effort and responsibility that needs to be taken by companies here. It isn't just about making yourself more attractive in your application. It's companies' responsibility to make sure they're looking for all types of people and being conscious of what their goals and objectives are when it comes to diversity, equity, and inclusion. So with that said, there are obviously things you can do, that anybody can do to make themselves more attractive in an application. The kind of thing to remember is that not that long ago, I'm sure in many places, you'll still have language like a good cultural fit. And there's more progressive thinking around cultural ad now. What do you think you're going to ultimately be bringing to this company that meets the expectations of values, but actually, you know, changes what's possible for that company? And that was ultimately what the power of diversity in the workplace is. It's welcoming different perspectives to change what's possible, right? So your application needs to be able to reflect that there's some alignment, but that you're bringing something that's valuable to you. I had a really, really wonderful conversation with a very senior person at Facebook, and they said to me, try and think about the thing that you didn't earn or learn. So something that is just truly you, uniquely you, and always has been you. It's probably something that you're not keenly or consciously aware of because it just is innately you. But it's probably something someone else might describe as what they love about you the most. And that thing is the thing that is going to make you different from everybody else. To get to the heart of what you need to be doing in your resume or application to get strong is tell a compelling story about why you are interesting and what value you can bring. I'll give you a really good example of someone that I spoke to recently who I won't name, but if you're listening, hello, you recognize yourself here, who was the eldest daughter in an immigrant family. I was challenging them on this question. I was giving them advice on kind of how to tell this story and how to recognize. I have no idea what my story is. Well, you just told me about your background, and I think there's something fascinating there that is why you are doing the sort of work that you were doing, which is like deep ethnographic research. I said, look, you arrived in this country not speaking the language, and your parents didn't speak the language, but you learned a lot faster than everybody else in your family. And so you kind of took on the responsibility of translator. And your entire childhood experience was translating from another culture to your family and navigating new cultural systems. That is why you are a spectacular ethnographic researcher, because you have lived what it is to kind of translate something. That's a story that you want to be able to tell and take ownership of if you choose to. If you don't want to have that story be the thing that defines you in those interviews, that is absolutely in your control. But I think that's an incredibly powerful story. So think about what your experiences have been. Think about what it says about the perspectives that you can bring in, the value and the skills that you've developed, which anybody should be able to do, regardless of whether they've spent any time in the industry whatsoever.
When talent get in, what should they do to get on and progress in their roles?
Again, huge disclaimer, not all on them. I aggressively recommend anybody who is in any level of control for how those experiences are managed and designed inside of a company to do that with great intention. But there are absolutely things that you can do as a junior talent coming into an organization to get the best experience that you can. One of the first things you should do is make sure you have your job description and make sure that job description clearly articulates what is expected of you. I would hope, with all of my fingers and toes crossed, that your manager will do some sort of personal development planning with you based on that job description. But if it doesn't happen, doing that yourself might be the thing that you need to do, so that you at least have some semblance of kind of shape for what it is that you kind of want to do. That's the first thing. The second thing you want to do is make sure that you understand where your support is going to come from. Ideally, again, it is your manager, and the company will have hopefully some sort of system of sort of buddies and mentors, and many of them actually have reasonably good structures around those things. But just because someone's your manager doesn't mean they're a good manager. And I think you have to plan for everything not being perfect and not the way that you ultimately want it to be. When it comes down to it, your growth and your career success is down to you. Again, back to thinking about who your audience is when you're in your application, think about kind of what your job is with job description in hand to contribute to the work. And think ahead to be like, okay, so I've just been asked to go and do a ton of research into a topic. Do I understand how that's going to be used and who's going to be using it and what do they need? And just thinking slightly further ahead than, okay, I'll start Googling, start to put a bit of a plan in place. And that sort of proactiveness and almost sort of entrepreneurial kind of spirit is an incredibly valuable thing for you to be able to do. I would hope, again, that you're going to get clear briefs and clear guardrails and set expectations. But in the event that you do not have the best manager in the world, those are some things that you can ultimately do.
So we touched on the role of a manager and what a good manager looks like. Could you explain what the difference between a manager and a mentor is?
At its simplest level, a manager is the person who is responsible for your professional performance and development. They should be the person who has your job description and who understands the goals and objectives that you have and coaches you and guides you in developing against those things and then ultimately measures you against them. They're more likely to be involved in your day-to-day work and operations. A mentor, personally, I think you need to have someone separately, is more thinking about the overarching sort of shape of your professional kind of well-being and development and direction. It's helpful to have them as separate because the manager relationship, even when they're healthy relationships, are very like, here is what I expect. Here's what you're going to do when you work through that. Whereas a mentor can kind of talk more broadly around things. Now, your mentor shouldn't be the person that you go to with your life problems. That should be just a therapist or maybe a friend. And there are some blurry lines, I think, in some respects, because, work and life are deeply entwined and we shouldn't pretend that they are completely separated. But, be respectful of that relationship and don't burden that person with, your relationship issues, because that's not what they're there for.
Do you think talent should be expected to learn on the job? Or is a structured learning program necessary to go beyond being a doer and become a thinker?
I mean, the annoying answer is all of the above. And the slightly more detailed answer, learning isn't something that happens in one way. Learning is something that should be continuous and happening informally and formally and frequently and infrequently. What sits at the core of that is a learning mindset and like the simple structure of how we learn things. But then you should be designing an array of experiences that are self-guided, organized, group and individual, that follows that same basic structure in a much different way. So you absolutely will be learning on a daily basis in the job, and every interaction is a learning opportunity. And not just for junior talent. Anybody who says, well, I don't need to learn anything, I'm senior enough now, I don't trust. Because I mean, there's this wonderful sort of curve of competence and confidence, right? Where you begin your career feeling very confident that you know a lot. And then you very rapidly understand how little you know. Your confidence goes much, much lower. And you kind of stay in that sort of, well, you should stay in that space where you're like, I really don't know very much. And so you aggressively kind of learn, and you're like hungry for that kind of knowledge. And then at the point where you get to mastery, you get that like, yeah, I probably know a good deal about this now. I'm not finished. I'm never going to be finished. There's always more to kind of learn in the space, but I'm feeling confident in what I do know now. Any learning experience needs application. So go and do a presentation course by all means. If your company offers you that, do it. Go and do it and throw yourself wholeheartedly into the experience. But know that you then need to turn that training into experience and practice, and you need to seek out opportunities post that training to go and learn on the job to take the formal training and kind of develop it.
Thanks for listening to season 2 of NSQ, No Stupid Questions, a podcast brought to you by the Ad Academy, a new online course from industry experts for untapped talent to help you understand how the creative industries work. Also, new news, on the Friday following the episode release, which usually drops on a Thursday, our guests will take over the Brixton F School Twitter account to share the gems that didn't make the episode. So check it out. And always remember, success isn't always getting it right. It's learning.